Amen. The Lord is good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So good to have everybody here with us today. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're having some trouble with the live stream. They said that it's got audio, but not, or it's got visual, but not audio. So something's going on. When this week, lightning, when we had the big storm on Monday, I think it was, whatever day we had the big storm, lightning hit the steeple up there and fried something in the mixing board, and we thought moving the mixing board up here and just running it on the iPad would be enough and that we could get by for this week. But obviously something's going on to where it's not able to live stream the services, and it's showing it on video but not audio. But glad you're here because you get to hear it in person, right? Amen. Amen. God is so good. Just want to thank everybody for your continued faithfulness to Destiny Church. Good to have visitors with us and people watching online. And I pray that God will speak to your heart today. You know, we've been so blessed as a ministry through this whole pandemic, just doing our live stream services. The people have been faithful in their giving, and God has really blessed the ministry. We're doing well. I started on Monday calling all the people in the church, trying to go from A to Z, from everybody in my phone, calling all of our church families. And if you haven't gotten a call yet, that doesn't mean I'm not trying. It's a lot of people to get through. I thought I could do, used to I could do it in a day, but not anymore, man. I'm only like not even halfway through the list. But I'm just wanting to call and encourage everybody. And I want to thank you for your giving and being faithful to the church. The Lord has been so good. Let's just give the Lord thanks for his help, you know. Give the Lord a praise, everybody. God's been so faithful, so faithful. Out of all the families I called, everybody's healthy. I didn't find anybody that wasn't healthy. Everybody's working. I didn't find anybody that was just really going through a hard time financially. And so I'm really thankful for that. And I just want to publicly just give acknowledgement to God's goodness and his faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Let's pray and we'll receive the tithe and the offering. Give us an opportunity to give back. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to give. Thank you for blessing our finances, blessing the people of the church. And I pray that you will continue to, God, use us for your glory. God, everything we have belongs to you, and we are consistently being faithful, Lord, in our giving. And I thank you that the windows of heaven are open over our lives. Bless and prosper each family, and we give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a joy box on the right, left, and in the back. Everybody, make yourself available to it. Thank you to everyone who gives online. So we're going to try to do this off a cell phone. For those that are watching online, maybe the cell phone will help get people to be able to hear it. But I think that we're recording everything on our cameras, and they can upload it, and so people can watch it later. But right now, I want to talk to us about the power of Pentecost. You know, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And in preparation for that, I want to speak to all of us about the power of Pentecost and what Pentecost is all about. It's a historic Pentecost. You know, this Pentecost 2020 will be a historic day. The Passover was historic. You know, for the first time since it's been thousands of years since everybody celebrated Pentecost in our Passover in their homes. And all of Jerusalem, all of Israel was locked in their homes, having Passover in their homes. And that's the way it was when the death angel passed over. They were in their homes and they put the blood above the doorpost and the death angel passed over. So I believe this is a historic season that we're coming into. And many of you don't even know what is Pentecost Sunday? What will that represent? And what will that look like next Sunday as we celebrate Pentecost? And Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Easter. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the other followers of Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating what was known as the Feast of Weeks. We call it Pentecost Sunday. And it's described in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 1. The Bible says this. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," and it's talking about the Feast of Weeks. the day of Pentecost, when the Feast of Weeks was fully come. There are three annual Jewish pilgrim feasts mentioned in the Bible. Passover, the first one, the Feast of Weeks, the second, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were all feasts that required every male, every able-bodied Jewish male to travel to Jerusalem and attend these feasts. And what they would do is what they would bring harvest, they would bring sacrifice, and they would make sacrifices to the Lord. And these feasts are still celebrated today throughout all of Israel, and they're still celebrated in Judaism. I've been praying a lot about Pentecost Sunday, about what's going to happen and what that should look like this week for us entering into this season. You know, what should be the posture of our faith? And I'm praying for a historic Pentecost Sunday. I'm praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to where everybody in our church speaks in another tongue, where everybody in our church is endued with power from on high, where every one of us experiences the Holy Spirit coming upon us with power. With power. You know, the first Passover was followed by the giving of the law supernaturally to Moses during what they call Pentecost. And the birth of Judaism as we know it today. It's the foundation of the Old Covenant. It's known as Shavuot. In the Bible, it's how you would say the meaning weeks, the Feast of Weeks. And it's found in Leviticus, Shavuot. Yeah. Leviticus 23. Everybody go there with me. Let's look at it together. Leviticus 23 and verse 15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Verse 16, count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Many scholars believe, and it's not documented per se in the Bible, but many scholars believe that it was 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt that Moses went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. It was celebrated as the law. It was celebrated as the way of life for Judaism. And that was such a powerful outpouring. And it was 50 days after the resurrection. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit visited the 120 in the upper room. It's found in Acts chapter 2. It's called the birth of the Christian church. And just as on Mount Sinai, Moses received the Ten Commandments, on Mount Zion, we received the impartation of the Holy Spirit. This too was a fulfillment of the original Pentecost, in that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the external tablets of the law can now be etched into our hearts. And it was no longer just tablets of stone, but those words and the Bible could now be etched into our hearts. It's found in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. Thus saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the foundation of the new covenant. This is the foundation of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and said, no longer am I going to be out there somewhere. I'm going to be in there. I'm coming in you, and I'm going to let you receive me into your lives. This is the foundation of the new covenant, and it was paid and made available through Jesus Christ. And it is built on an empowerment by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's built on that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you and I got to realize it is available for us now that you and I can be baptized in power. I believe that on this Pentecost Sunday, we can experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that rivals everything that happened in the original outpouring in Acts chapter 2. We can change the face of the church. We can change the face of the whole world. We've never needed Pentecost more than we need it now. We've never needed an outpouring of the Holy Spirit more than what we need it now. When fear has gripped the hearts of people and people's lives are in confusion and not clarity of mind, not knowing what to do next, we need the Holy Spirit to come. If you read in John chapter 14, it tells us that the Holy Spirit would come and he would be our teacher. He would empower us. He would be our guide. He would be the one that would lead us and guide us. He would teach us all truth. The Word of God will be taught through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can get a revelation of who Jesus is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the tangible presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to come with great revelation and with great provision. We need the provision of the Holy Spirit on the earth right now. The supernatural is the only thing that will answer the critics of this day. When you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, when we operate in the power of the supernatural, we silence every critic. We shut up every naysayer. They can't argue with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you look at a man that was raised from the dead, that God brought back to life after 3 days in a coma, you cannot deny the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the supernatural in the churches. We need the supernatural in our lives. We need to open ourselves up to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's available right now for every believer. Raw supernatural Holy Spirit power is the cure for cynicism. It's the cure for the critics. Last week, I preached the message about what now, and I talked about how Jesus told the disciples, go back to Galilee, go back to the beginning, go back to what I taught you, go back to the day that you were called, and that message, it was so powerful. I feel like it was a word for the church, and I felt like God was speaking through me, and I prayed all week, God, show me what you want me to say, and God says, teach the people that after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. We got to be a church with power. We got to be a church not just with words. We got to be a church that is infused with power from on high. I was taught the Bible in the King James Version. My dad would never allow any other version of the Bible to be in our homes but the King James Version. And so most of the scripture that I memorize is in King James. But now I read the New King James and I love it. But I want to give you the King James Version of Acts 1:8. And I titled the message today, After That. Acts 1:8, the Bible says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody say, after that. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, we are not broke stepchildren trying to get to heaven. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been empowered by the love of God. And we have the power to transform a city, transform a nation, transform the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the only thing that ever has. We have the power of the living God inside of us. And if you don't have that power living inside of you, if you don't know what's available for you, I'm here to tell you the power of the Holy Spirit is available for each and every one of us. He is a person, and he's looking to indwell you. He's looking to empower you. He's looking to fill you with power from on high. Ephesians 3:20, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the what? The power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever, amen. He's teaching us that there's a power available to all believers. We're called to live a spirit-empowered life. The Spirit needs to be empowering our lives to do day-to-day life. The disciples had been personally discipled by Jesus. Like he walked with them, talked with them. He took them into quiet places and taught them the revelation of who God was. He spent time with them. And after his resurrection, he rose from the dead and he went back to his disciples. And the Bible tells us that he showed himself to them and through 40 days showed them infallible proof. In Acts 1:3, to him he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and being seen by them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You'd think that would be enough, right? I mean, we're walking by faith. We're reading the Bible. But to think if Jesus were to come and sit with you and say, Jason, we're not leaving the room. We're just going to be in this room for 40 days, Pastor Jason, and I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you and I'm going to refresh in your mind all the things that I did. And he would sit with us and just walk through every miracle of when he called Peter, when he called Andrew, when he saw him afar off. You think when Jesus began to teach them and say, hey, you remember the woman at the well who had five husbands? And I didn't know her past, but I began to tell her, the one you're living with now is not your own. And he said, I began to minister to the woman at the well, and she received salvation. And she went in the city and told it to everybody, and they came and we delivered them. You remember the demonic boy at the tombs when I laid hands on him and I cast the demons out of him, and I commanded the demons to go in the swine, and the swine ran into the sea. Do you remember that day? Do you remember when I walked into the city and blind Bartimaeus cried out and said, Son of David, have mercy on me? Do you remember when I healed his blinded eyes, when I laid hands on him? Do you remember when I touched the leper? I think 40 days he just went through all the infallible truths, and he said, all these things I want you to remember. I want you to go back to the beginning and remember all those things. But he said to them, that's not enough. I'm just telling you, he said to his disciples, that's not enough. You need to go tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power. Go stay in the upper room until I send the Father, until the Father sends the Holy Spirit, because he will not only be with you, but he's going to be in you. I'm teaching you all this. He said, I'm teaching you all this, but that's not enough. You need the power to make it happen. You need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and it needs to transform your life. You think that would have been enough, Rich, to sit with Jesus face to face and look at his nail-scarred hands and see him resurrected back to life. But Jesus said, it's not enough. You need to be endued with power. You got to go to the upper room and stay there. They were told to wait for the power from the Holy Spirit. It would come upon them, and it would cause them to be a proper witness for him. Jesus said, wait for the power. These were Jesus' last words to his disciples. Wait for the power. You should go into the upper room and wait for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing today how many believers have avoided the power of the Holy Spirit. How the empowering of the Holy Spirit has become optional to those who believe. It's optional, Gary. It's not taught from the pulpits anymore that you receive an infusion of power from the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. It's not enough. It wasn't enough for the disciples who walked with Jesus, and it's not enough for you and I. We need to be endued with power from the Holy Spirit. We need to be endued with power. Huge mega churches are now the best representation of Jesus on the earth. Thousands and thousands of people fill auditoriums all over this country. And I'm not trying to criticize anybody or throw anybody under the bus or tear down any ministry, but the abundance of powerless Christianity is everywhere. It's everywhere. I could count on my hands the number of churches in our city that still allow a moving of the Holy Spirit. I could count on my hands the number of churches that still allow anybody to speak in tongues publicly. It's taught that you need to go to a little room back here and you need to get in a little room, or you need to do it privately because it's going to confuse everybody if you have tongues and interpretation. When you read the New Testament church, they were filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There were words of wisdom, words of knowledge. There were prophecies. They were laying hands on the sick. There isn't five churches in our city right now that are laying hands on sick people. Most churches have relinquished it to great singing and great teaching. And I'm all for it. I love worship teams, and I love great music and lights, and I love all the atmosphere of worship. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, that's not enough. You need power. We've relinquished it to great communicators and great speakers who stand up and who can orate God's word and lay it out in such a beautiful way to where everybody understands it. We think that's enough. And I'm here to tell you, it is not enough. It's not enough that I know how to preach the word. It's not enough that Gail knows how to sing the word. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes and transforms lives. It's when you wake up every day and say, I refuse to go through the motions of Christianity. I want to be endued with power from on high. The absence of power is the abundance of a powerless Christianity is not the problem. The problem is the absence of power Christianity. That's the problem, because if we can display the power of the Holy Spirit, it'll transform people's lives. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20 said the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It is not in word, but in power. I love the word, and I base my life on the foundation of God's word, and I will never take away from that. But this word needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be empowered by spirit living and spirit life. We've gotten far too comfortable with presenting the gospel that comes in words. It's just words. There's no action behind it. There's no miracle, signs, and wonders. There's no power being released. It needs to be noted that Jesus' last words to his disciples were, you need power. You need power. He did not say, you will receive the Holy Spirit and he will give you power. That's what so many people think. He did not say that. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You can't separate the two. He is the Spirit of power. He hovered over the water waiting on the words to be uttered from God that said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, when God spoke it, the Holy Spirit moved, and he caused things to happen. The Holy Spirit is an action God. He is a moving God. He is a powerful God, and he brings change and transformation into every life. What is it going to take to remove this pandemic from the earth? What is it going to take to remove this virus? I'll tell you what it's going to take. When believers get endued with power from the Holy Spirit, when we begin to saturate ourselves in God's presence and wake up every day on assignment and realize we got a plan and we have a purpose and God is empowering us to accomplish it. It's going to take the moving of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the spirits of power, with a demonstration of the power. I'm telling you, what we need to see is we need to see some addicts getting delivered from drugs. We need to see some alcoholics getting set free from alcohol addiction. We need to see some people addicted to porn getting their eyes set free from the curse of this world. We need to see some people being changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, our gospel came not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. That's why the earth isn't filled with conviction. That's why so many people can allow so much garbage into their life, sit and watch the news media in and out all day long, and wonder why there's no power in their lives. We've lost our conviction. We don't have conviction. Conviction doesn't come from man. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is alive in your heart, nobody has to tell you right from wrong. You just wake up and you know, that doesn't belong in my life. That's producing the wrong fruit in my life. And you begin to separate yourself from darkness and come into the kingdom of light. We are in this world. We are not of this world. There's a call to the body of Christ to say, come on, receive the power from heaven. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit that can transform your life. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. I remember in Ohio, we had a Christian school. And let me just help everybody to understand, just because you're in a Christian school doesn't mean it's filled with Christian kids. Huh? We had a Christian school, and the teachers couldn't do anything with them. They were a bunch of heathens. It was all our Christian kids in the Christian schools who weren't living for Christ. And so they thought maybe if they could get the youth pastor to come in and teach a class, maybe I could get into their hearts. So they said, will you teach this class? I said, yeah, I'll teach the class. And after 3 or 4 weeks, man, I'm realizing these kids are a bunch of punks, man. They're all my church kids that I see every day, but they're not living for God. And so I said to all those boys one day, I called all the boys after class. I said, all the boys stay in the room. Everybody leave. All the boys stayed in there. And I said, let me just ask you guys a question. What is it going to take for you to really give your lives to Christ? Like, what's it going to take for you to really serve the Lord? I'll never forget their reply to me. They said, we need to see a move of God. What were they saying? We need to see the power of Jesus transforming lives. We don't need it in word only. We don't need to see our parents up there praising God and then arguing all the way home and fighting and cussing at each other in the car. We don't need to see people being fake. We need to see people being real. And if we can experience a move of God, it'll change our lives. I'm telling you, the world needs to see a church that has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is living empowered by His love. These men were hungry for a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, they need more than our words. They need to see more than us loading up the car with all the kids and going to church on a Sunday morning and coming back home and living in a little bubble. They need to see some transformed lives. We need to have joy. We need to have peace. We need to have the love of the Father pouring out of our lives. Those who don't know the Lord need to see the church moving in the supernatural. I'm just telling you. When I was a kid, I was so afraid to take somebody to my church. Because we went to a little Pentecostal church, and it was crazy, man. I mean, literally, they would just open up the doors and take off running and run around the building. And I'd be just sitting there going, man, this is a crazy place. And I'd be afraid to bring people to church. You know, I'm like, if they do, man, I know what's going to happen. Because we had this lady at our church named Gracie Day. And every service, man, when they get to a certain point in the service, Gracie Day, I watch her. She look around, see who's looking. Buddy, she'll bust out. Screaming. She'll scream with the top of her voice, man. It just, man, make your skin crawl when she starts screaming. And sure enough, man, every time I bring somebody to church, I'll be so afraid, man. Gracie Day's going to get up and shout, man. And my kids are going, all my friends are going, they're going to swear I'm crazy. And lo and behold, man, every service, I bring somebody. About halfway through, man, they had like 9 guitars on the stage, and everybody, ding, 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 ding. King Jesus, won't you hear me when I pray? Man, all of a sudden, I look at Gracie Day. Here she goes. I saw that head going. I said, oh, Lord, here she goes. Man, she'd bust out in the aisle. She'd go into that Holy Ghost shout and screaming. And, man, I was thinking, oh, man, I knew it. I knew it. And we get in the car, and I say, man, what'd you think about church today? They're like, dude, I loved it, man. Man, when that lady started dancing up there, man, it just got all over me, man. I just wanted to cry. I could feel God's presence so strong in there. Why? Because they need to see the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about putting on a show for anybody, but I'm talking about you and I being endued with power from the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives and causes us to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, and talk like Jesus. And everywhere we go, people see the love of God in us. Our friends and our family needs to see Jesus on our lives. The world needs to see a powerful moving of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11 and verse 24. Numbers 11, 24 and 25. When Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and he set them around about in the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him. And he took the spirit that was upon him and he gave it to the 70 elders, and it came to pass that when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied and did not cease. This is where I want our church to go. I want everybody. I want to go. I want to live in a realm where prophecy is coming out of my life, where I'm speaking, thus saith the Lord, where I'm living a life that others can see Jesus in me. Moses sat his elders down, and the glory of God filled that tabernacle, and Moses took what was on him, and he put it on them, and they began to prophesy. I want us to see the glory of God filling the tabernacle so thick that the cloud of God and the glory of God is so thick in here that there's not room enough for any ministry to go on but the ministry of the Holy Spirit. when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Picture it. It moved, the Holy Spirit moved on all 70 of the elders, and they prophesied. It was kind of like a day of Pentecost when the upper room, when the Holy Spirit fell. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, Judges, go to Judges, and let's read it together. Judges 6 and verse 33. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. When I go to Israel, it's one of my favorite places. Maryland, isn't it powerful to look over the valley of Jezreel and to see all that, David? It's just like one of the most powerful things. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered to him. I really believe God wants to raise up some Gideons in this last day. The church has so many enemies right now, and they've joined forces against the church. You see it all over social media. You see it where they've come out against churches, and they're trying to stop churches from gathering back together and reopening. And there's an anti-family force on the earth that is just separating and trying to be anti-family and to pull us apart. There's anti-marriage force on the earth that is trying to separate marriages and homes. We see more people struggling right now in their marriages than ever. I think they've been locked up with their spouses too long in the house, and they need to get out and get some air. But there's so many. There's an anti-marriage force on the earth. There's an anti-morality force on the earth. Nobody wants to talk about morality. No, morality is whatever you think it is. But the Bible has set a standard for morality. It doesn't matter what you think it is or what others tell you it is. There's an attack against the morality of the church. There's anti-you name it. It is everywhere. Forces have come together to stop the move of God, to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And we need some Gideons to be moved up under the Holy Spirit and to stand up with 300 and say no to the armies of the earth. You will not advance against the church, but the church of Jesus Christ will prevail and will dominate the forces of evil. We need some Gideons to act on God-given dreams and defeat the Midianites. We need some Gideons that will cry out like Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Why not you? Why not you being a force on the earth? Why not you being endued with power from the Holy Spirit and standing against the culture and saying, no, everything's going in that direction, but I refuse to go in that direction. I'll go against the current, and I'll stand for Jesus, and I'll make him Lord of all. I'll deny the powers of hell, and I will stand firm and know that I am empowered with the Holy Spirit. Not by man's might or power, but by the Spirit, by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Judges chapter 14, come on, read it with me. Judges 14, verses 5 and 6. Judges 14, 5 and 6. So Samson went down to Timnath with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And now to his surprise, a young lion came up roaring against him. And look at verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would tear apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. What happened? The Spirit of God came upon him and gave him supernatural power, gave him power to tear apart a lion with his bare hands. What am I telling you? The lion always represents, when you begin to read about lion, in 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's saying, listen, if you'll get the power of the Holy Spirit over your life, you can destroy the forces of hell. You can stand up against the lion and rip him apart. King Saul was a timid young man, and the Spirit changed him, and he became a king. In 1 Samuel 10 and 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou wilt prophesy with them, and they shall and shall be turned into another man. Do you see that? 1 Samuel 10 and 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you'll prophesy with him, and you'll be turned into another man. Saul was a mere man, and the Spirit changed him, and he became joined with the prophets, and he began to prophesy. In verse number 10, it says, and when they arrived at Gibeah, and a procession of prophets met them. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. The Spirit of God came upon Saul and transformed him into a new man. This is what I'm looking for. I want God to transform me into a new man. I'm not satisfied with the man I used to be. I'm not satisfied with just going through the motions of Christian faith. I want to be a man that has been infused with power, and I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for a youth pastor that will be infused with the Spirit power and will stand up and declare to a generation, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I'm looking for a church that will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and stand up and declare against the forces of darkness, we will prevail. We will prevail over this virus. We will prevail over the spirit of Antichrist. We will prevail in victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. Amen. I want to be changed into a different person. And that's what happens in the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we begin to move in the Holy Spirit. You may feel timid. You may feel unqualified or ungifted. You may feel useless. And I want you to know something after that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It'll turn you in from a mild manner, just common person, into a spirit-filled warrior for Jesus Christ. You will be transformed into the image of God, and you will speak the word of God with power, and it'll change lives. The Spirit of God changes you into a different person. The Spirit of God enables you to prophesy, to tear apart a lion, to lead 300 men to conquer a foreign army. The Holy Spirit can give you a vision and a dream and a plan of action. And with His guidance and direction, you can begin to see with spirit eyes. You can begin to walk in a spiritual realm that is available to every believer, to have eyes of faith and eyes of a vision and passion, to know that this is not over. This isn't the end. This is the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the days when we, the church of Jesus Christ, can rise up with power and let this world know that we are victorious. Reaching a resistant nation will require the supernatural moving and power of the Holy Spirit in us. We have some hostile Midianites that have come against the church. We've got some lions that are trying to roar and make us think that they are so powerful. And you and I got to realize the real power is in the Holy Spirit. The church is full of Sauls that need to be changed into a different person. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, everything could be different. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can move in power. The healing rooms don't just happen because you have healing rooms, Zach. They happen because the power of the Holy Spirit that is over your life gives you the power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it's not just for Zach on Monday nights in the healing room. It's for every believer every morning when you wake up in the morning and things don't feel right. I don't know how it is that stuff just don't feel right from one day to the next. Nothing happens. I go to bed and wake up and get out of bed and go, whoa, that hurts. I don't know how that happens, but I know one thing. There's a power in me that can speak to whatever ails me, that can speak to whatever has tried to come upon me. And no matter what tries to attack me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And no matter what blows into my life, the power of the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the Word of God can come out of me and cause that situation to turn around. It can cause that storm to blow out of my life. It can cause that thing that has tried to torment me to be a thing of the past. I'm telling you, the church needs to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a shout, everybody. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can move in power. After that, you can say to the crippled, stand up on your feet, and he'll stand up. After that, the twinkling of an eye, you can receive faith for a physical healing. By the Spirit's revelation, you can see into the spiritual realm. This world is not all there is. The spiritual realm is far more real than the earthly realm that you see with your eyes. You can know the power of the spoken word. You can command demons to come out and they'll tremble and run. After that, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can be a powerful, effective minister of the gospel. Miss Gail, if you'll come. Jesus' last words, you shall be endued with power. You shall be endued with power. It's not enough to know all the stories. It's not enough to know all the testimonies. It's not enough that 40 days he sat with them. He said, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to come upon you and infuse you with power. And I'm telling you right now, the church of Jesus Christ needs to be infused with power from the Holy Spirit. So how does it happen? What do we do? The first thing you need to do is you need to live close to God. He's not something you visit for about 15 minutes in the morning before you go to work. He's not a daily devotional. He's not your daily bread that you read 30 minutes or your soap and you read it and you go, okay, I'm done with that. Now I'm going to go do life. No, you got to live up close to God. You got to wake up every day empowered by the Holy Spirit. You got to wake up every day hungry to know him. You wake up every day going, God, I refuse to go through life on my own wisdom, on my own understanding. I need the Holy Spirit. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to, in all my ways, acknowledge God. He's not an add-on to your life. You live with him, close to him. Number two, you stay open to the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. Sometimes there are to be moments in everybody's life where we have to shut everything off and get in his presence. If it's not happening to you, I'm telling you, you're not living empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're trying to schedule him and say, okay, well, I'll take this 30 minutes and that'll be my secret place, so I'll go meet with God for that 30 minutes, and then I'm going to work, I'm just compartmentalizing my spiritual life. It's over here in the mornings at my house, but when I go to work, if I feel like cussing, I'll cuss. If I feel like yelling, I'll yell. If I feel like getting angry, I'm going to get angry. That's not living up close to God. That's not making room for the Holy Spirit. You have to allow yourself to stay open to the Holy Spirit. Living wide open. Holy Spirit, use me. When I finished the service this morning, my neighbor who was here, Jason, he said, man, this stirred me up so much. I was at my friend's house yesterday, but I never prayed with him. I told him how I had been changed. I told him what everything had gone on in my life, but I didn't pray with him. I'm going right now to his house. I'm leaving at 2 o'clock to Tampa to get on a plane to fly back to Tulsa. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, tell him about me. And I'm going to go to his house right now and ask him to get on his knees and ask Jesus into his heart. What was that? That was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to the Holy, you got to stay up close to him, and you got to listen to him, you got to stay open to him. And the third thing you need to do is you need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I already got that long time ago. No, I'm telling you, every believer needs to seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what if you already got it? What if you can speak in tongues? This isn't about speaking in tongues. Anybody can speak in tongues. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, long-suffering. Huh? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you see your life not operating in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, this is the key to us living out this life spiritually. This is the key to us being changed into a different person. It's what happened to Saul. He was changed into a different person. This is what needs to happen to every believer in this room. We're coming up on Pentecost Sunday. I pray when you come in next Sunday, you come in here freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit, expecting God to move in your life. And the last thing is you need to continually have Isaiah's cry. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Everybody stand up on your feet. Just lift your hands to the Lord all over the house. Father, baptize us fresh and anew in the Holy Spirit. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. Let us be powerful people in God. Let signs and wonders follow our lives wherever we go. God, let it be natural to live in the supernatural. Let it be a natural part of our day-to-day lives, God, operating and flowing in the supernatural. Open your hands up to the Lord, guys. Just open your fingertips wide to the Lord. God, empower these hands with healing. Empower these hands with healing. Let the healing power of the Holy Spirit flow through these hands. Let the sick recover when we lay hands on them, Jesus. In Jesus' name, heal, restore, and make new. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody lay your hands on your throat right now. Just lay your hands on your throat. Father, I pray that we speak words of faith and not words of doubt. Father, let my words be edifying. Let my words be those that bring correction and bring wholeness, Lord. Let my words come forth with love. Let my words come forth with love, God. Let me speak love. Let me constantly speak love to others, Lord. Let me be one who walks and operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lay your hands on your head, everybody. Come on, I know it's crazy, but I just feel the unction. Father, let our minds be sanctified. Give us righteous thoughts, Lord. Let us cast down every lie and imagination that exalts itself against you, Lord. God, don't let our eyes view anything that isn't appropriate, God. Don't let our minds meditate on anything that doesn't build up, that doesn't strengthen, Lord. Let our minds be quick to tear down the walls of the enemy, Lord. Let our minds be sharp, Lord. Let us operate like a sword, God, separating the bone and the marrow, God. Let our minds operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your word be in our minds, God. Let our meditation be upon your word. Let our meditation be upon the truth of your word, God. Empower us with spirit living. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody, just lift your hands as we worship the Lord together. Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jason, come here. Pastor Tim, come here. Any other staff that's here, come on up. Any other staff that's here, Johnny, come up. Johnny's leading ministry. Zach, you're leading ministry. Come here. Come here. Turn towards me, guys. Turn towards me. Who else? Any other staff members here right now? Amen. Come on, Brandon. Come on, Brandon. Just lift your hands to the Lord. We can't lead in our flesh, guys. We can't do this thing. We can't bring this all back together. We can't pull this all together in our flesh. We need the Spirit of the Lord. Jason, God called you alongside of me, man, to serve. But we can't do this in our flesh, man. We can't do this in our ability. We need the Holy Spirit, Tim. We need him, Johnny. You can't lead young adults without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't take us to worship without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we, the leadership of this church, Sandy and Stephanie, Lord, and Jen, we, the leadership, and David and Bailey, we stand today and we say, God, empower us with the Holy Spirit. God, empower us. Bobby, stand up here. Bobby Joe, come on. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need God to guide us, Lord, with the timing of bringing all this back together and leading this city in revival, leading the churches to come into unity. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. And Father, right now, we prepare ourselves, God. We come to your feet and we say, fill us fresh and anew with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lift your voices in your prayer language. Guys, lift your voices in your prayer language right now. Receive an impartation of the Holy Spirit fire. Fire! Jesus. Fill me with your words, Lord. Fill me with your words, God, that it speaks to the people, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.